Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Across the Romaverse. It's episode 133. I have Brandon and Jimmy with me here tonight. We've got the full podcasting crew. We still couldn't get Brent on. Maybe we'll get him on if Roma can pull it out on Wednesday. But the three of us are back together after last week. We didn't have everybody here, but we are all here to preview the final against Sevilla, which is just a couple days away. So we're recording a little bit early this week on Sunday. So guys, I mean, we're excited for the final, but I mean, yesterday against Fiorentina had to leave a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth, no?
Yeah, it definitely did for me. I think going into the match and then up until the point they started, crapping the bed we thought they had purged that from their system. But up until that point, I didn't really care about the result. There's like maybe a 1% chance if Milan lost both of their games or lost to Juve and dropped points against Verona and Roma won both of theirs, that Roma would have a chance to sneak into fourth. But that wasn't really a realistic scenario. So, up until that point, it was like, okay, well, they're going to have some momentum going into the Sevilla match. Even though it's a heavily rotated squad, you still get some measure of confidence from the result, especially a Fiorentina side that's not half bad, even though they themselves were rotating. But then they concede the equalizer, and you're like, okay, that's annoying, but we didn't really expect to come away with all 3 points given the rotation, so that's fine. And then with the second goal so quickly after, you're like, oh man, I totally forgot what this was like, because under Mourinho, they've so often just shut down shop when it's 1-0.
I think we lost you there, Brandon.
Well, I guess I can start to come in as a bit of a replacement for Brandon if he's technical difficulties. Yeah, I was kind of expecting a 1-0 win, especially after that goal. It was a nice goal. Let's not distract the fact that they lost. Let's not that be a distraction for the fact that they had quite a nice goal for that first one. However, I'm not putting too much weight on this one. As Brandon said earlier, it would have been nice to get top six, but if we're able to get the Europa League final, that we'll be fine. We'll be fine if we're able to pull off the victory in the midweek. Of course, it would be great to be going in there with a full head of steam after beating Fiorentina 4-0 or something like that. But just looking at how much there is no depth on display at the moment for the club, and also looking at how many players were rested in anticipation of the Wednesday match, I'm not exactly shocked that they weren't able to pull this one off. I would also say, just as a side note, why the hell is the Europa League final on a Wednesday? You'd think that they would have that on a weekend, because isn't that what they do with the Champions League final as well? Like, in my opinion, if we're trying to figure out how to do this well, it makes a lot more sense to have a full week off for most of these players before doing a cup final, as opposed to kind of this 3 to 4 day half break.
Yeah, I guess that's part of just being the second tier competition, right? The Conference League is also a Wednesday, but it's the following Wednesday. So for Fiorentina, they'll still have a match beforehand, but West Ham gets a nice long break before that match. So yeah, it's interesting the way they do plan out the finals. I understand why Champions League is a Saturday. It always has been, from what I can remember, just to get those those ratings. I'm sure on the weekend you get the better ratings. EPL will be done, Serie A will be done, and all the other major leagues will be done. But yeah, one thing that was interesting to me yesterday, I know it's not surprising Roma didn't get the result, but what was a little surprising was the rotated lineup with some of the youngsters in the first half played, I think, not even marginally, like I say by a pretty decent stretch better than the lineup in the second half as the regulars started being subbed into the match. I mean, you look at the stats from the two halves. In the first half, I know the possession was pretty much even. They were under 40% possession in both halves, but first half XG was 1.21. Second half XG was 0.003. Like, Roma did nothing in the second half, and Fiorentina's XG was all second half, 2.29, and they found those two goals. I know they weren't the prettiest goals, but, like, those lapses, like Brandon said before he cut out, they aren't mistakes that Mourinho's sides have made all season. Roma's pretty much locked it down. We've seen them in, especially the Europa League, but also in Serie A for the most part. I think the... Which match was it? A couple matches ago, they gave up a stoppage time goal. Like, the first stoppage time goal they gave up, I think, was the Milan one, the one that they actually went up in stoppage time and then blew the lead in stoppage time. Up until then, Roma hadn't given one up in stoppage time. Both of these were past the 80th minute, to be exact. What were they? The 85th and 88th. So that to me was the disappointing part, was the way they blew it. It doesn't mean much. Like Brandon said, they had like a 1% chance of getting top four via the league route at that point. But the thing that had me a little worried, and we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if UEFA would even let Juve into the Europa League next season with the point deduction and everything that's going on. But I don't want to slip to seventh, and then
they will.
UEFA, for some reason, lets them in, and then Roma's back in the Conference League if they don't win Wednesday. That worries me the most. Like, I could live with Europa League. Like, this year they've played pretty decent sides. They've played teams dropping in the Champions League, and they've really proved their mettle against some fairly strong sides, we can say. Conference League is a different ball game. Like, it was nice to win it the one time we won it, but you don't want to have to keep going back to the Conference League. And it's no knock against the tournament. Obviously, we enjoyed winning it, but you know, our ambition now is I would say Champions League and at worst Europa League. So it brings us. We are going to weave in some listener questions to this one, and there is one I'm going to throw at you guys, and it's from Costaba Harry Haran. He asked, why has the team looked so lifeless the last few matches, even with the injuries and rotation? Just feels like there's no spark in the team right now.
I mean, he's not wrong that there's not much of a spark. If I'm not mistaken, Roma is winless in their last 7 or 8 league matches. We've been able to pull it through in the Europa League. But beyond that, it's been pretty dreary watching this club. So I'm not going to dispute that concept. However, I am going to say that, not to beat the dead horse here, but Mourinho's comments throughout the year about Roma not having the necessary depth to compete on multiple fronts. That's what happens when you're trying to compete on multiple fronts and you have no depth. Just looking at that Fiorentina lineup, for example, the only guys that I can think of is that, like, out and out starters who were starting that match are Smalling, Wijnaldum, and Wijnaldum hasn't even been a consistent starter this season because of his injuries, and Zalewski. And Zalewski has been great, but as we've kind of said a lot before, he's playing on the wrong side of the field. He's you know, not really even a left back. So the fact that we're playing in this way, it doesn't shock me per se. Missouri, Tahirovic, I'm sorry to Belotti, but like Belotti being in the starting 11. Andrea Belotti is a shell of himself at this point, and we can't, I mean, like, I have to think of him basically as like a Primavera player. If he starts, I hope he impresses, but I'm certainly not expecting it. So I don't think that's just excuse making there. I think we're legitimately just very short on depth. And this is what Mourinho was talking about when he said, if you're short on depth and trying to compete in multiple competitions, you're going to see some ugly football towards the end of the season. And let's just hope that that can be worth it or proven worth it by Wednesday's match.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything Jimmy said. I would just add that, yeah, this team is held together at this point by, you know, glue and duct tape. And it's just a matter of crawling to the finish line. It feels like one of those video games where you just get the prompt survive and then you don't really know what to do, but you just have to last however long. It's kind of what this team feels like sometimes watching them. But for them, it's all about just accomplishing their objective, which is qualifying for the Champions League. And so that's why we're sitting through 90 minutes against Leverkusen away, where we're digging our nails into, you know, whatever we're sitting on and clenching our butts for the entirety of the match. But here we are in the Europa League final. And as Jimmy said, it's all vindicated if they win it. So I think they're just conserving every, and especially the last few games, they're just conserving every bit of energy that they have left and trying not to get injured so that they can go out and win this final come Wednesday.
And this might also sound a little wild here, but I'm just going to note something that I didn't even recognize. For some reason, the end of the season is when there's the under-20s World Cup. So even the Primavera players that we're pulling into the senior squad right now aren't necessarily the cream of the crop. Like, I'm pretty sure that we told the under-20th Italy team, like, please don't put in, like, Volpato or Bove because we want to have them for our matches. But, like, Roma's best prospects are currently over at the U-20s World Cup, where congratulations, they qualified for the round of 16. But if we're talking about being able to even have good Primavera depth, I don't even know if we have that at the moment through no fault of our own, just through the fault of the schedule.
Yeah, I know Fadi Conti is with the under 20. I saw him for sure. I think he's been starting actually for the U-20, which is great for Roma moving forward. I know he's pretty highly rated. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the lineup, right? And yesterday, one thing I did like, I thought the 4-2-3-1 looked pretty fluid yesterday, even considering, you know, not having many starters. You mentioned just a handful of them. I mean, you look at the starting lineup, when you look like at the team sheet and you're looking at the graphic, you see some of the numbers you see, it look like NFL linemen and linebackers. You have 59 Zalewski, 58 Missouri, 68 Tahirovich, 52 Bove. You know, that just speaks to how young a lot of these players are. I know players now will wear some of these like more random numbers, like with their birth year, like El Shaarawy with 92 and things like that. And Svilar wears 99. But when you see a lot of those numbers around the pitch, you just see how much turnover there was. But I did like some of the things I saw from the 4-2-3-1 yesterday. I thought they created quite a bit in the first half. Wijnaldum missed a couple really good chances, I thought, in the first half, that if Roma was up 2-0, I think that game's over. Late in the half, they had a couple pretty decent chances. I thought he was a little disappointing. I think you want him a little more sharp ahead of a big match like Wednesday. I know he's missed time, but man, if he could have gotten one of those to go, you're looking at 2-0 and Roma maybe cruises. I thought Solbakken looked pretty good. I thought El Shaarawy looked sharp. He scored again. I mean, he was supposed to be done for the season. I guess that was maybe some of Mourinho's game of chicken he likes to play sometimes. But I thought those guys had good matches. I think they found a player in Solbakken on that free. I think he's going to be a useful player moving forward, especially if Mourinho's around next year and they go to a 4-2-3-1. I think he'd be very useful on that right wing. But you did mention Zalewski too. Like, yesterday wasn't even left wing back. Yesterday was left back. Full on left defender. So not the ideal role there. I know that's part of Spinazzola being hurt and Karsdorp being hurt and everything, but they're going to have to figure that position out a little bit, get some depth in there behind Spinazzola if Spinazzola is still here next year. Because like we've said throughout the podcast, that is not ideal. But I'm going to ask you guys. So obviously Matic is going to be involved on Wednesday. Obviously, you know, Cristante is going to be involved in the midfield. But if Roma does play, you know, if they don't have Dybala from the jump, which it doesn't seem like they will based on all the comments from Mourinho, if they go with like three center mids with Pellegrini in support of Abraham, something like that, and maybe, I don't know who, if they would play Wijnaldum or, you know, El Shaarawy or whoever it is, would you at this point start Bove over Wijnaldum based on the way they've looked in recent weeks?
I can grab this one. I think I would start Bove. I mean, I have a reputation, very well earned, as a member of the Play the Kids contingent. And we've gone through my reasons for believing that ad nauseum, so I'm not going to go into that here. What I will say, though, is that in terms of who's actually been remotely in form over the past 2 months, it's been Bove. He's looked good when he's been given opportunities. And Mourinho strikes me as a coach who wants to reward good performances. Like we've never, especially this incarnation of Mourinho, the only times that I can think of where he was not actively rewarding good performances was when he was protecting Nicolò Zaniolo through his poor form. That's really the only time. And beyond that, he defended players, but he will also start players who are performing well and send players to the bench who aren't. And I mean, I saw a lot of comparisons of Wijnaldum to Zaniolo himself in the past couple weeks in terms of kind of the promise of many of his attacking motions that then kind of just falls away into nothingness. I've been seeing that from Wijnaldum. I also, the rumor mill seems to indicate that we're not going to keep Wijnaldum, whether that's to sign Aouar, Fratesi, or, you know, there's a laundry list of other midfielders that we're looking at. Simply put, especially if we think that we're going to part ways with Wijnaldum at the end of the year, I think that Bove should get the start.
I think even outside of, you know, rewarding Bove or confirming that you're not continuing with Wijnaldum, I just think from a tactical perspective, there's so much benefit to having Bove next to Matic, you know, covering for him just because he can't move around. Like, he's 24 and he's been playing a lot of minutes. And with the intensity of the final, you're going to need somebody like Bove who just has that motor in them. And then if Dybala does come on later on in the match, as we suspect will be the case, then you can throw Wijnaldum in, and we've seen in the limited action that they've played together that they've combined well. And so if you need a goal at that stage in the match, you have those two right there to hopefully make something happen. Or if you're holding on to a lead, you know, those are two players who can combine to hold the ball up and take more of that clock down. So I think, any way you slice it, Bove is probably going to get the nod. I think it's well earned, and you know, hopefully it pays off.
Yeah. So let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll get more into the final. We'll get to our preview. All right. So we're back from our quick commercial break. So guys, let's get into the final. I know we talked a little bit about Fiorentina match. We had to be said, but now the big match is Wednesday. So just, what are we, about 72 hours away, under 72 hours now from the time we're recording on Sunday night. So to start, I'll give you some of the stats that Google gives you in the match preview. There's always some interesting tidbits in there. So Sevilla has now reached the final of the UEFA Cup Europa League, which it was renamed to, for the seventh time, two more than any other club. They've won the competition every other time they've reached it. 2006, 2007, 14, 15, 16, and 2020. So they are pretty much the Europa League masters, as we've heard before. We've seen that. Roma will contest the final of the UEFA Cup / Europa League for the second time, losing the showpiece in 91 against Inter, of all sides. This is their fifth major European final overall. The 1961 Fairs Cup, 84 European Cup, 91 UEFA Cup, and then, of course, last year's Conference League. The only previous meeting between these two sides in Europe was actually the COVID year, 1920, when they were in the Europa League and had to get restructured because of the stadium shutdowns early on in COVID. And Roma lost what ended up being a one-legged affair, 2-0. I believe it was a neutral site in the round of 16. And Sevilla's six titles that they've won in the Europa League puts them only behind Real Madrid with 16, Barcelona 12, Milan 9, Liverpool 9, and Bayern Munich 8 European trophies. Of course, that's any European trophy. So, and Italian against Spanish sides in European finals, previously 13 meetings. Spanish sides have won 9 of those 13. So Roma trying to buck that trend a bit too. They've also won the last 3 in a row. I know a couple of those were Juve losing to Real Madrid and Barcelona in the Champions League final within the last decade. So that's just a little bit of it. So before we get into anything else, knowing all that, knowing how Roma's been playing and Sevilla's success in Europe through the years, how are you feeling heading into this one?
Do you really want me to answer that?
We've got the pessimist and the optimist over here.
I actually don't feel horrible. I think, I don't know, I'm kind of banking on the fact that there's been some mind games afoot with regards to Dybala's health, and I'm hoping that he's fully fit to play. But then again, are you going to put all your hopes on a player that hasn't played more than 15 minutes in however long? So it's kind of catch 22 there. But I don't know. I have the ESPN Plus package, so I watch a little bit of La Liga when I can, usually the big teams. But I was watching Sevilla versus Real Madrid at the weekend, which Madrid ultimately won. And obviously Sevilla is a quality side, we know, but I think compared to the opponents that Roma have had in the run-up to the final, I think they can cope with them equally well. But I think it's in large part to who's available. You know, if you have Zalewski starting on the right side as opposed to Celik, I'm maybe a little bit more nervous. Obviously, if Dybala is ruled out entirely, you get even more nervous. So it's things like that that kind of sway me a little bit more to Sevilla. But I think, I don't know, it really is 50-50 in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would say. You sign Paulo Dybala for moments like this. You sign Jose Mourinho for moments like this, right? Like that the crux of the project in the past couple of years, the full project under the Friedkin era, has been we're going to sign winners and the winners will help see us through in a more concrete way than even the Pelota era, where, you know, we did sign players who had won before, like Edin Dzeko and Henrikh Mkhitaryan and players like that. But let's just be honest, Dybala and Mourinho are on a different level when it comes to winning than the Pelota era signings in general.
Yeah, I
Dybala,
agree. I
mean, Dybala, that... Yeah. I was just going to say, like, even though Dybala didn't start most of those World Cup matches, or any actually, and even though he only came into the World Cup final at a very late moment, he was a critical element of that. And I think that's, again, that's why you sign a player like him when you're a club. You know that worst case scenario, let's say that we're down to the 75th minute, it's 0-0. If you sub on Paulo Dybala, you now have a better chance of winning that match than you did before. And you have a better chance of, if it goes to penalties, of winning the penalties. So that's my general take, that I think it's relatively close to a 50-50, as Brandon said. I think that you got to put it in Roma's favor simply because I do believe in Mourinho's ability to get a side through a cup final. I believe in Paulo Dybala's just, you know, otherworldly talent, even if it's limited to 30 to 45 minutes of the match. My guess is he probably plays the second half. And I also believe, quite frankly, this is something that we don't necessarily discuss that often, but Lorenzo Pellegrini, at least in cup tournaments, has built up quite a resume at this point. He's gotten to several semifinals. I believe he had his fourth or fifth semifinal this year in a European competition, which is no laughing matter. And all the other like, we have built up some form of winning DNA. Like, maybe it's Roma's form of winning DNA. We can call it that. Over the past couple years, that I don't think can be denied. I don't know. I watch La Liga every now and then. I would say that the gap between us and Napoli this season, for example, is smaller than the gap between Sevilla and Real Madrid and Barcelona. I think that's just kind of the nature of La Liga. There are two clubs and then everybody else. And one of the reasons why Sevilla has been able to be so successful in the Europa League is because they know that the league is basically out of reach. So if they just throw everything they can at the European competition, which, to be fair, that's kind of what we've done this season. I think it'll be an interesting match. I think my guess is that Roma pulls it off.
Going back to the Mourinho point quickly, I just quickly looked up the Sevilla coach's resume because I know that he joined, you know, midway through the season, helped pick them up when that one point they were in the relegation zone. So, and a very experienced manager, but in terms of European experience, there's not much to speak of other than the run that they're on now. So when you compare that to Mourinho's experience in finals throughout his career, I think that's such a huge advantage for Roma. I think Mourinho is going to put them in an excellent position to win. And you hope his experience really shines through there. And we've seen up to this point that it usually does. So it's really going to be on the players to execute, but I think that managerial advantage is going to be interesting to see play out.
Yeah, that's my thing too. That obviously winning last season helps. And I know Jimmy made the point about bringing in winners. And that's why players like Matic were brought in, right? These are guys with experience in winning and knowing how to navigate these kind of tournaments. Serie A was a little more difficult for Roma than we had hoped late in the season, but these guys are here for a reason. And Mourinho, I think, is Roma's trump card if they can execute his game plan. Because like you said, the managerial difference is going to be huge in this one. We saw it against Leverkusen. He went up against his old pupil, Xabi Alonso, and his game plan worked out perfectly. And, you know, Leverkusen, like Jimmy and I covered last week, had plenty of negative things to say about Roma's negative play, as they called it, and not wanting to play football and all this stuff. But guess what? They didn't score a goal in two matches. So I do expect this to be a tight one. I am hopeful, and I am feeling fairly confident because of what Roma's been able to accomplish over the last two seasons under Mourinho and the way he's been able to navigate these matches. I mean, we look back to the Conference League final last year. It took one really nice goal from Zaniolo to get past Feyenoord. I think it could be a similar situation. But I think managerial, like, it just has a lot to do in matches like this. And Mourinho's won tons. He's a serial winner when it comes to these things, right? And he had an interesting quote during his Europa League press conference. I think it was like last Thursday. And he was asked about the team. And he said, this is certainly not the strongest squad that I've ever coached in terms of quality. But over the years, you understand that the human factor is the most important thing. And this squad is of the top in my career. And I think we've mentioned it a lot on this show that Roma, they fight for each other. They fight for Mourinho. They fight for the crest. And they are a close-knit squad, and you see that. And I think that is a big reason why they're able to hold out in some of these matches where they look like they're outclassed, but they'll just buckle down and not give up a goal against Leverkusen where they're getting outshot and outpossessed and they're running on fumes. And I think that could have a lot to do with this match. Mourinho's experience and then that camaraderie and that team factor. And I think if you're late in a match and it's 60th minute, 70th minute, and you are looking at a manager to figure out what's the right string to pull in that situation between Mourinho and Sevilla's manager, I'm going to go with Mourinho every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if Roma get a lead at any point, to me, you know, that's it. Match is over. I'll knock on wood when I say that, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think the experience that they have and, you know, the togetherness that they've shown, they are not going to relinquish the lead unless you pry it out of their hands. If they concede first and have to chase the game, that's going to be a different proposition and one that makes me way more nervous. But from what we've seen, I think we can put our trust in them to the point that if they do get the lead, that they probably will see the result out.
I think that's a big point. I think first goal goes a long way in this match based on the way Roma plays and their lack of goal scoring, but their ability to defend. If they get the first goal, I think they put themselves in a very strong position. And I wouldn't expect the same kind of goals to be allowed that we saw yesterday on Saturday against Fiorentina. I think the focus and the commitment to getting in front of every ball will be a lot bigger for those players. The moment will be bigger, but I think you'll see a different kind of mental approach in the back, especially if Roma's up 1-0 in the 80th plus minute.
Yeah, they're going to be fully focused the whole time. As we saw against Leverkusen, they have the ability to do it for the full 90. And, you know, Ibanez had that swing and a miss in clearing the ball on the second goal for Fiorentina. But you'd expect him to be locked in, having Smalling and Mancini alongside him will do wonders as well, because we've seen that they're pretty shut down when the three of them play together. So I do expect some improvement in the focus department.
I mean, my biggest prediction is that this match is not going to be pretty. We're not going to probably see a 5-0 drubbing by either side. That's just like, you know, the epitome of fluid attacking football. No, that's not what we're going to see. My guess is that it's going to be either a very long, drawn-out affair that goes to extra time, or it'll be a 1-0 victory for either side. I don't really see
as much as I think Paulo Dybala is a gifted attacking player, I don't really see him racking up a bunch of goals while still coming out from under an injury spell. I also think that, you know, there's just enough question marks around the health of the squad overall that this is not going to be like a big win. On the flip side, I think that what you said, Steve, about mentality is important here too. I don't think it's going to be a big loss either. I think that it's going to be a pretty gross match that will end 1-0 either way. I hope that it's Roma winning it, because if they do, our summer gets a whole lot nicer. There are just a lot of players that we can get way more comfortable reaching out to say, hey, we'd like you to join us. And or players that we can just, you know, sign. Like, let's talk about Leeds for a moment. Leeds officially is going to be relegated to the championship. Mm-hmm. I would be very interested in seeing if we could snatch Wilfried Nanto from them. I think that could, if we're talking about needing to develop attacking depth, which we definitely will, regardless of whether who we keep from our current striker depth, he could be a really great guy to add. And just in general, it's going to be 10 times easier for us to sell Roma as a project if we're able to say, 2 years ago, we won the Europa Conference League. This year, we won the Europa League. We're going to be in the Champions League next season. And we've got the likes of Paulo Dybala and Jose Mourinho leading the way. Are you in or are you not? And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the free agent signings that we've seen as like reported to be completely complete, if those are hinging on Champions League qualification. Like, I would not be surprised if the Aouar and Dicka signings are hinging on European qualification. So life just gets so much easier for Roma management, for Thiago Pinto, though. There have been rumors about Thiago Pinto going to Tottenham. Life just gets easier if they win this Europa League final. And I'm pretty sure that they have what it takes to win it.
Yeah, you mentioned ugly, right? Ugly. And I think ugly favors Roma in almost any match they play. There's not many teams that could play as ugly as Roma. Like, I know before when we were in the semifinals, yeah, we were talking about a potential Roma Juve final. We were like, wow, that could be real ugly. Like, that could be like digging heels for 120 minutes and there might not be many shots on target and we might be going to PKs because those teams can really play ugly. Like, it took a really good goal for Mancini the last time we played them. I think Sevilla is going to try to play a little more open than that. But we have some other listener questions and comments heading into this one. I'll just read out one of the comments that we had on Twitter from John Habs. He said, I'm petrified about what happens to this team if we lose. So we do have some people who are a bit worried. AS Roma Fan 6, who's a frequent contributor when we ask for comments and questions, he said, my concern is that if that Roma doesn't win, Mourinho will not return. If they win, he will be back next year to manage Champions League. This is such a huge match for Roma. I don't want to start over again next year with anyone other than Mourinho. That is certainly a looming question, I think, hanging over the squad, is does Roma need to win to keep Mourinho around? So we had a couple other people ask about the Mourinho situation. In your opinion, do you think Roma keeping Jose Mourinho around next year hinges on winning this match?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. There was a rumor that Francesco Totti started himself basically saying, like, Mourinho, I think Mourinho's already made his decision on whether he's going to stay or not. If there are a bunch that he's been bandied about for PSG or Brazil or what and have you, that I don't think are the right fit for him in terms of both the management of personnel and the expectations. I think that we often forget that, especially for coaches, but for anybody in any situation.
I think we lost you, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that means you're next, Steve.
Yeah, so what would you say, Brandon, on the Mourinho situation?
Yeah, Roma would love to keep him either way. We know that. So it's
Mourinho's for all the plaudits that Mourinho has gotten for being very successful in Rome, which he has been. I would say that I don't know if that happens if he just stays at Tottenham for another season, or if he goes to, I don't know, Manchester United or Inter. General feeling on it is that there's a match between manager and city and club right now for Mourinho.
think we lost.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can jump in, Brandon. So, I don't know what's going on tonight. Just stick
sorry,
with us.
Sorry, folks. This is not the norm, as you know. So, yeah, I think ultimately, though, it does depend on winning and qualifying for the Champions League. Jimmy, before he cut out, mentioned Brazil, PSG. I think, obviously, that's in – you know, very contingent on what Ancelotti does. Or, you know, Madrid could decide to sack him and then there you go, right? The Brazil job's taken. I don't know that they would go for Mourinho should Ancelotti rebuff them, because they usually tend to go with a Brazilian coach. And Ancelotti appeared to be the exception to that. So we'll see how that plays out. And then with PSG, I think it just would be a difficult fit. They're going to lose Messi. They're looking to ship out Neymar. So you do have a team that's going to be built around Mbappe, which is, you know, any team would kill to do so. And then you see how the rest of the team is structured from there. But then with all the pressures that come with that, is that something that Mourinho wants? And then going back to the Brazil gig, if Ancelotti does go for that, then Real Madrid's right there and maybe they come calling. So, but I think all of that aside, up to this point, that he's shown a willingness to commit to Roma as long as they continue to progress. So I think that there's no doubt in my mind, should they win on Wednesday, that he'll commit for the duration of his contract. Maybe he does leave after that, but the first step is to win on Wednesday.
Yeah, I won't say much on it. I do agree with that last point, though. I think if they win Wednesday, I don't see how he could leave with the way things have progressed in Rome. I do worry a bit if they don't win that he could be going elsewhere, and then Roma has to kind of start over again. And we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll take one more quick ad break, and then we will continue with the discussion. All right, so one of our more entertaining questions, No Toti, No Party from the message boards, listens and obviously was listening last week when he said, well, since the last podcast sounded like we already won, the EL and Matt is a magician and anybody who actually likes attacking football is lying to himself because winning stuff is better. He said it was a bit over the top for him and with a winking face. He had a couple questions in regards to that. He said, what if we lose the EL final, which means we didn't win anything and didn't qualify for Champions League? Is it then not worst of both worlds, not winning anything and playing extremely defensive football with almost no goals and no attacking? Also, did Mourinho fail if we lose the EL final and end seventh, or is reaching the EL final enough to call it a successful year for us? And then why is it now suddenly you guys sound like you can't win anything if you attack a bit more? So you can certainly win if you attack a bit more. My point last week was I'd rather play ugly and win than play beautiful and lose. And I think, Jim, I think that was your point too. But I think the most interesting question there to me, because this is something that I think a lot of people will ponder, is if Roma does lose, doesn't qualify for Champions League, doesn't get a trophy out of it, and finishes sixth or seventh, depending on how things go the last match week with them and Juve, is it a successful year? Is it a complete failure? Like, where would you rate the season at that point?
I would put it somewhere in between. I would say it was, like, disappointing, but not a complete failure. For the reasons that we've talked about already with the sheer lack of depth that this side has. Like, I think that there's a lot in terms of mentality building that should be really commendable from this season. There's also a lot when it comes to player development that's commendable from this season. Like, Nikola Zalewski is now a full-fledged starting 11 member, and I don't think that's going to change. Ditto with Eduardo Bove. I think that starting in the fall, he's going to be, like, a consistent part of our midfield rotation. Those are things that we can be happy about, even if we win the Europa League, lose the Europa League final. I would say also more broadly that, not to sound like Giannis when he said, like, losing isn't final or whatever, however he framed it, but it is really good to get these experiences in. It really is for a side like Roma to get to a final at all. I think that we've kind of forgotten that for about a decade before Roma won the Europa Conference League final, it's not like Roma was getting to, like, the Champions League final or the Europa League final and, like, losing in a heartbreaking fashion. They weren't getting that far. They just weren't. And, like, we can quibble about whether that was happening in the Champions League or the Europa League. It was happening in both, to be quite frank, that this team had talent and then would usually lose in the quarterfinals or the semifinals because there was a team that played better than them. And at the very least, we can say with this one that Roma got to a final and that Roma had a chance to get to the Champions League. I don't really believe that playing beautiful football or giving up on the Europa League or anything like that would have actually guaranteed Roma a chance at top four football through the league this year. If you look at the results over the past couple of weeks, even if Roma had won every single match that they played, they would still be out of the top four at the moment. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that I would say are frustrating about this season. It would be even more frustrating if Roma doesn't win the Europa League. However, I don't think that that means that this season is a failure if Roma doesn't win the Europa League. But I also do think that they've got a good shot. So, like, let's not get too down in the dumps just yet.
If Roma are in the Conference League next season, this is a huge failure. I cannot watch them play another second of Conference League football. But, I mean, I'm exaggerating a bit there, but I do think that, I wouldn't label it a failure so much as Jimmy mentioned, you know, a frustrating season, one with a lot of regrets, a lot of what ifs. What if Dybala had been a little bit more healthy in the tail end of the season? But as the point was made earlier, Mourinho has been saying all season how difficult it is to juggle three competitions with the level of depth that Roma have. So it might have been something that was unavoidable with the injuries, and it would have been somebody else that went down, if not Dybala. So, it kind of is what it is there, but it'd definitely be a lot of what ifs. And but to that point as well, I think the fact that they're making a final is, you know, a success in and of itself. After they won the Conference League last year, I jokingly might have mentioned to you guys, definitely thought to myself, you know, what if they go back to back to back and win Conference League, Europa, and Champions League? And they actually have put themselves in a position to get, you know, the second stage of that completed. And then you can really dare to dream, I guess, as improbable as that would be. It's really, you know, as most seasons are, take the good with the bad. But I think ultimately if they lose Wednesday, you look back and it's more of like a what if.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't call it a complete failure because you did make another final and you got through some tough squads to get there. You fought through injuries and everything. From a league perspective, I think finishing seventh place with no trophy would be a failure. And like Brandon said, I can't watch them in the Conference League again. I don't know if that would happen because of the whole Juve situation, even if they finish seventh. But it does certainly put a damper on things if Roma doesn't win. Now, if Roma wins, it's a successful season. It's funny how it can be construed so much, right? Just because you win a trophy. But it's so big for a club like Roma to win a Europa League trophy now. And then you also get the Champions League to boot, which kind of makes up for the league form, especially in the last month or so, a little over a month, where they have dropped, I think, seven results in a row, like Jimmy said earlier on. It just changes everything. And then it's a success because then you look at the roster construction, like, wow, how did Mourinho do this 2 years in a row with this group of players? And it really is. It's like a razor thin margin for like what's a success and what's a failure. And I think it's a matter of interpretation of what expectations are from certain fans. I do think Jimmy mentioned the player development for certain players like Bovan Zalewski is very important. I think it also depends who sticks around if Roma doesn't win the final and they're back, say, in the Europa League again. Does Dybala stick around another year? Does Mourinho stick around another year? Some people might not want Mourinho to stick around another year if they don't win. That's, I think, a matter of different people's opinions based on his style of play. Some people would rather Roma play a little bit prettier football, I guess. And again, that also was part of the question was, do you have to win ugly? Like if Roma doesn't win and they've played so ugly for so long, is it worth us sitting through matches like yesterday and some of the other ones we've seen in recent weeks where they haven't won and played ugly? So there's a lot of things. I think it's really, you could ask 50 different tifosi and you'd get a pretty big split of opinions. So it'll be interesting to see. I know we had a couple other questions about who we'd want to replace. One was thrown at us, and we won't spend too long on this because it's a lot of hypotheticals. But Flesmith asked, in case of the lost final, no Europe, would you hire Daniele De Rossi and trim the squad, giving him whoever affordable he wants? To me, I don't think De Rossi is ready for it yet. I think Rome is such a difficult place to manage in and to play in. And he would have a longer leash than a different young coach. But we've seen what's happened at Milan with some of their stars of the past, like Inzaghi and Seedorf. And I wouldn't want that to happen to a legend like De Rossi so early in his managerial career. We saw he didn't last long at Spa this year. I do think he needs to cut his teeth more. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but I just think he needs a little more time before he's ready for a stage like Rome.
Yeah, I would say that not every player manager is going to be like Zidane. I think that it also helps to be training Real Madrid, who have seemingly unlimited money and a great youth system and the ability to sign the best Brazilian player every 2 years, seemingly. I want De Rossi, if he wants to be a manager, to be successful. I don't think that throwing him into the fire that is Roma too early is the way to make De Rossi a successful manager. I think that one of the underrated reasons why Mourinho's been successful in Rome is because he can handle the media in his own way, but he definitely can't handle the media. And if you look at how a lot of other managers who haven't been as successful in Rome as Mourinho have fared with the media, there's usually some moment where it's very clear that they break, whether it was Rudy or whether it was just about any other manager, even Di Francesco, who got to a Champions League semifinal, broke from the pressure of the Roman media after a certain point. And I don't want De Rossi to break so quickly into his managerial career. And I don't know what he would do next. Like, he would go on the Pirlo path, basically, right? If he came to Rome, was not very successful, and got fired. Like, he would go to Turkey, or he would go to MLS, or he would literally be like Rooney at DC United. Like, that's what would happen, and I'd rather he not have to do that. I'd much rather him slowly but surely build himself up so that his actual CV as a manager is worthy of managing Rome.
Honestly, for me, I know it's easier said than done, especially if you don't have Champions League football, but if Mourinho leaves, I really don't want to see Roma under anything other than a top-level manager. Based on the experience that we've had under Mourinho, it's been night and day compared to the managers that Jimmy just mentioned. And I know under Spalletti, Roma had their highest ever points total. But as he's shown with this Scudetto win with Napoli, he's also on that level, that top tier level of managers who can get it done. So to go down to De Rossi at this stage in his career is not something that I would be looking forward to. As Jimmy said, you know, he has to cut his teeth a little bit more, and there's also going to be managers out there that can, even if they're not at the caliber of Mourinho, if you can't bring in Conte or persuade De Zerbi to leave the Premier League. I think there's plenty of managers out there that are a shade below that you could look to kind of soften whatever quality blow that you lose from losing Mourinho. When we were talking about earlier about how the experience of this final, no matter which way it goes, will benefit the team next season. To me, I think that depends on who the manager is. If it's Mourinho and he sticks around, sure, yeah, they're going to benefit from that. But if it's a project manager who doesn't have a ton of experience, I don't think that the experience from the trials and tribulations of this season is going to propel them to grow like it would under a manager who can get that out of them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You do want to continue that top manager kind of progression and building that winning caliber mentality and all that. And it'll be interesting to see. This is certainly something we'll have to talk about on a future episode, depending on how things go and if Mourinho decides to come back or not, and they're back in the coaching market, we'll see. There was one more question based on qualifying for Champions League. Char47 asked, if Roma wins Europa League, how much money are we looking at realistically, including potential sales, and how would you spend it? So I actually pulled up a couple things here. Sporting News posted this at the beginning of the season with Champions League revenue and Europa League revenue. And it's interesting. The Champions League prize money pot is just over $2 billion, 2 billion euros. Europa League winning pot is 465 million and the Conference League is 235 million. And that's all divided. That's what we know. Roma didn't get a huge windfall last season from the Conference League. This year, if they win the Europa League, they'll get 15 million for, in the knockout stage, the winner earns. So Roma will earn about a total of 15 million from those, a couple million from the wins in the group stage. So not a huge amount of money, but if they qualify for Champions League by winning, so this is how they allocate that money this season. So for performance-based prize money in the Champions League is 55% in this year's tournament, with the winner earning a maximum payout of 85.14 million euros. So just winning is a €20 million prize right there, reaching the finals 15.5. So at Inter, for example, is going to get at least 15.5 million euros for just reaching the final and playing the final, besides getting all the other prize money in the earlier stages. Reaching the group stage is 15 million euros right there. So if Roma wins the group, makes the group stage, doesn't win a single match, they're looking at least 15 million euros next season just for making the group stage. Every draw is worth just under €1 million. Every win is 2.8 million euros in the group stage. So say you can win a couple of those matches, you're looking at another almost 6 million euros, right? Reaching the round of 16, for example, is another 10. Quarterfinals, about another 10, just to go down the list. But this is where the money also gets intriguing for a club like Roma, who does have those FFP regulations. The coefficient payout. So there's this season, there were 600 million euros paid out to all 32 clubs based on their 10-year coefficient. Prior to this season, Roma is a 20th ranked club in UEFA based on 10-year coefficient, but you'd be removing the 12-13 season where Roma didn't participate in Europe, so that's a lost season in terms of points. And just listen to some of the teams ahead of them. I'll go down the 19 real quick. Real Madrid, Bayern, Barca will all be there next year. Juve will not. Chelsea will not. Atletico will be. PSG will be. City will be. Liverpool will not. If Sevilla loses, they won't be. Man U will. Dortmund will. I don't know what the Portuguese final standings are going to look like, but Porto and Benfica are both ahead of them. I think they'll both be there. Arsenal will be there. Probably Ajax, probably Shakhtar, but not Tottenham and not Napoli will. So you're cutting out at least five teams there. So we're almost somewhere in the middle of that pack, where the top team would get 36 million for being in it this year. The lowest would be 1 million. So there's maybe another 15 million for Roma. So just looking at, in terms of the UEFA money, I mean, Roma's looking at, just by getting there, probably close to 40 million euros based on broadcast and all that other stuff. So there's going to be money to spend, and every win is going to get you more. And I think in terms of transfers, we talked a little bit about last year, maybe Ibanez goes or maybe Abraham goes. We'll have to see. But you have to think from Europe, at least 40 million euros next year, right, if they qualify.
That would be my assumption. I would also just caution all listeners, but especially the club that I love so much, that spending money before you get it is never a smart idea. And as much as we can like look out and say like, oh, Roma could get basically three million euros if they win one group stage match, like that's fantastic, sure, great. But like at the same time, I'm confident and I very much hope that Roma won't be banking on Champions League success when it comes to who they sign this summer. I think that they can bank on the money that they know they'll get, but anything being spent that doesn't just think like, oh, we're going to flame out right out of the group stage if they make the Champions League would be a mistake. When it comes to who, I guess my main priority is getting a midfielder. After that, my main priority is getting a goalkeeper. And after that, my main priority is getting a forward. That's assuming that our fullbacks are healthy. That's assuming that we don't make any major sales. I wouldn't be surprised if we sold Rodri Ibanez. And in that case, I would imagine we would either bring in Ndicka as a replacement, or, you know, we would find somebody else. Ditto with Tammy Abraham at forward. You know, if you lose Tammy Abraham, that's disappointing if he's been this season. You got to find a replacement for him somewhere, whether that's, you know, someone more experienced or someone not. But in general, I think that we're probably going to see a bigger budget version of what we did last summer, which is exploit free agent signings when we can, whether that's Aouar, Ndicka, you name it. I would imagine that we'll try to shore up places when we can, but if someone tears their ACL, we'll have to sign a right back, or we'll have to sign a midfielder, or however that goes. So I think that as much as we can hope that there are no injuries that derail our transfer plans, it wouldn't be a Roma Mercato without that. So that's my general thought, that regardless of how we go move forward in the Europa League final, that it's going to be largely funded by free agent signings and maybe one or two big money signings, using whatever money we have, whether that's a midfielder, whether that's a striker.
Yeah, if they get that Champions League money, I think you definitely have to do one or two big money signings. I think the focus then turns into the league and improving your position there, consolidating fourth on an annual basis. And
yeah.
If you get the right people in, maybe even challenge for the Scudetto, which will be the new challenge for Mourinho once we get back in the Champions League, because, you know, let's be honest, the goal is never going to be to win it. Unless you get some, you know, City PSG money, behind you, you're really not going to take that leap. So the focus is going to be on the league. And I think as currently constructed, they're not, you look at the lineup and you definitely would think, okay, we probably could do more than two if we're being honest, but definitely one or two need to come in that will instantly slot into the 11. But that's exciting because, you know, then we're going to get linked with the whole host of players that we didn't think that would be open to joining Roma, compared to when you have, you know, Mourinho and Champions League football to offer. So that'll be exciting in itself, but I think definitely some big purchases, and then the rest is dependent on, you know, who goes.
Yeah. And I think we'll obviously have a transfer market preview probably in a couple of weeks when the season wraps and everything, but I don't want to get too much into the transfer market now, but I thought that was an interesting question just to see how massive this is for Roma's books. We know they still have the financial fair play regulations, but like you mentioned in there, Brandon, you want to solidify that top four spot year after year, because you're not going to win a European trophy every year to guarantee Champions League. It's not realistic, even for the biggest clubs in Europe, you know? So we look at Liverpool this year, even they dropped out of the top four. They're not going to be back in Champions League next year. They'll be out for a year. So it happens to all the big sides at times, and Roma's going to have to find a way to solidify top four. And I think you're right. I think Scudetto becomes the next challenge, because Champions League might be a bridge too far. I mean, you could make a run like Milan and Inter did this year and get a kind of a favorable draw, and maybe you can make a run to the semifinals. And we did it a couple of years ago by beating Barcelona, right? And that was completely unexpected. And maybe, you know, in a what-if scenario, Roma plays that semifinal a little differently against Liverpool. Maybe a call goes their way. Maybe they end up in the final, but do you beat Real Madrid in a 1-0 final? Who knows, right? So,
no.
Yeah, most likely not, to be honest. It's going to be very difficult for Inter to beat City, right? It's kind of the same situation that you're looking at there. But just so much hinges on this EL final. So I guess before we go, we had one last question came in from, as we were recording, where is it, from Tarnier. He said, both teams depend on this trophy for Champions League. Both teams with a bad season in terms of table position, which makes this even bigger, I guess, right? Both with key players injured. What are our chances man-to-man available on paper? I don't know their roster that well. I'm looking at some of the names and, you know, who generally starts in these kind of matches, like against Juve in that match. And, you know, Acuna is suspended. He did get two yellows and a red against Juve in the semifinal second leg. So he is out. Their World Cup winning left back. But you have players like Jesus Navas, who's playing right back and is their captain right now, who's been around for a while. You know, Youssef En-Nesyri, their striker, has four goals just in their time in the Europa League, which was when they dropped down from Champions League. So he's been pretty good. Obviously, Ivan Rakitic jumps out. Bade and Gudel, their two center backs, have been, you know, fairly high rated by SofaScore in those UEFA matches and when they give out their play ratings. So those are some of the guys that Roma are going to be dealing with. I don't watch La Liga enough to know them man for man. I don't know if either of you have watched them enough at all to know that anybody besides like the big names like Rakitic and Navas and Acuna. But I know from a Roma perspective, I guess if we're looking at ahead to my probable formation piece in a couple days, what you're looking at right now, I think the locks have to be Patricio in goal, Ibanez, Smalling, Mancini across the back three. I don't think Mourinho messes with that. Spinazzola is a question mark right now at left back. He's coming off a minor injury. We'll see if he starts. Right back, I think Celik gets a start over Zalewski at this point if Spinazzola plays. Otherwise, it's probably Zalewski on the left, Spinazzola on the right. Unless he goes with El Shaarawy on the left, which I think is also a possibility. And maybe could be the way Mourinho goes with the experience factor there. You know, I think Tammy gets the nod up front. I think Pellegrini's playing in support of him. I think the big question is Dybala. I don't think Dybala starts. As much as I'd love to see him start, I don't think he's got the legs, which probably means Pellegrini plays that kind of lone support role, I think. And I think you're looking at a midfield like Matic, Cristante, and Bove. And if Dybala is ready, then Bove kind of slides out, I think, and Dybala starts. And I know Matic, Cristante can be a little, you know, redundant at times, but I think in a match like this, those are the guys that Mourinho would trust. I mean, where do you see maybe Roma's chances of like getting hurt or exploiting this team? I don't know what you guys, how much you know them besides like the Rakitic's of the world.
Yeah, I will admit that, you know, Serie A takes up most of my time in terms of sports watching. So I will say that I know way more about Roma's weaknesses than I know about Sevilla's strengths. Given that, I agree with you though, Steve, that I think Dybala is going to be a second half sub. I think we're going to probably have a very similar situation to what Argentina did in the World Cup, where they knew that he wasn't really at 100%, but they also knew that they needed his ability on the pitch. So they put him in when they can. And my guess would probably be, assuming that Roma is able to at least keep it 0-0 and maybe make it 1-0, that we'll expect to see him on the 60th minute to kind of either put the match to bed or allow for a last second gasp of hope. In terms of who else might be playing, yeah, I'm seeing Pellegrini in the role that you're describing. That's generally what happens when Dybala's out. I already said I hope that Bove starts, but I would not be surprised if Wijnaldum did. My main hope is that, for the love of God, that they do not put Nikola Zalewski as a left back. That's my one thing. Like, you can make him a winger. You can make, like, my personal opinion from what I've read is that he's more of a 10, but at this point, if you make him a winger, that's fine. But I would say that overall, I'd much prefer to see Zalewski further up. As for who's starting at striker, you got to put in Abraham. Belotti's just been such a dud this season that, like, Abraham looks like Holland in comparison. So you gotta start your least out of form players for this one. And I think that we're going to probably see Abraham start. We're probably going to see Rui Patricio in there. I think we're mainly going to see our expected starting 11. It's just a question of how much they can actually provide.
Yeah, with respect to Sevilla, I mean, I don't really watch them at all either. I did watch them play Madrid on the weekend, and I kind of wish that Acuña wasn't suspended for the final because he got another red card against Madrid. So we could have used him on there to give us a one-man advantage late in the game. But yeah, it's really hard to say, you know, who to exploit. Looking at some of the players they have, you know, they have Lamela and Papu Gomez coming off the bench. So, you know, our old friends, both of them. So if Roma are up 1-0, they have players that can come and hurt you. Which, you know, goes back to what we were talking about earlier with needing to be switched on for all 90 minutes, especially when you have players like that coming in. In terms of Roma's formation, I think I agree with you guys. Personally, I would like to see El Shaarawy start in an attacking role, especially after what I saw against Fiorentina. I mean, not even to mention that he scored in back-to-back league games since coming back from injury, which is, with a team that struggles to score like Roma, that's huge. But I think just from what I saw from like a transcreation standpoint, I really liked it. I really liked his performance. So, but I just know he's such a dynamic threat coming off the bench as well, especially if you're chasing the game, that Mourinho likely will keep that as his, you know, joker to throw in if things aren't going well, in addition to Dybala, because I agree, I don't think that he would start, nor do I think it would be wise for him to do so after being out for so long. So I could see a more conservative approach to start and then taking it as the game comes, and then maybe we have something equivalent to the Conference League final where we can, you know, sneak in a goal. And then the math from there kind of gets, you know, really easy for Roma.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot LaMelo and Gomez just because I was looking at the starting lineup from the Juve match, not the complete roster. LaMelo scored actually a big goal in that match to put them through. And Papu, we know he can hurt us. He is older now, and those guys could be kind of their jokers off the bench. And it would certainly hurt to have like LaMelo, you know, be the X that hurts us in this one, because we've seen that happen plenty of times in Serie A with ex Primavera players and stuff and all that. I know they started the Belotti-Abraham pairing in the last two matches when Dybala didn't start. I don't think Mourinho could do that again in this match. But I think you're right. I think they play very conservative. I don't think it would be wise to start Dybala, especially knowing this match could go 120 minutes if nobody scores or if it's 1-1 or something. I do think they hold him out till, like Jimmy said, at least the 60th minute, depending on how the match is going. If it's still 0-0, I could even see them waiting a little bit longer. If Roma's up, I could see them not bringing Dybala at all and just trying to milk it out and get to that final whistle and save him in the event that maybe Sevilla can find a tying goal. It's going to be interesting. And that's, I think, the hardest part to manage for Mourinho is not the tactics, because he knows his tactics. He's been here, done that. He's won finals. He's done it plenty of times. It's really that, how do I manage Dybala's minutes? Pellegrini skipped this one. They said it was a minor thing that won't keep him out at all. He'll be fine on Wednesday, but you got to, you know, keep an eye on him. If Spinazzola is available, is he ready to go 90 minutes at left back, or do you save him on the bench? That's where he's really got to play this safe a little bit. And I think you're right about El Shaarawy too. He's kind of another spark plug off the bench. If Roma, I think, does have Spinazzola starting, I think maybe they save El Shaarawy. But I think he could be the guy that starts in the left if Spina's out, just because he has that experience and he won't be overtaken by the moment. Not that I don't think Zalewski can handle it, but out of position as well. I'm going to take the experienced guy out of position rather than the youngster. It'll be an interesting one. And someone's going to have to step up for Roma, and whether that's Abraham or Pellegrini, or maybe Pellegrini finding ahead on a set piece. Someone's going to have to step up and find a goal, because, you know, last year was Zaniolo in the final. This year, Roma has not had that consistent goal scorer like they had in Abraham last year. You know, Jimmy mentioned it. Pellegrini's, this is like his fourth semifinal now, or final, moving into his second final after a couple semifinals. He could be the guy. I mean, he has played very well, I think, the last couple matches that he has featured in the Europa League. I think he kind of steps up a little bit when Dybala doesn't play. And I mean, if I had to pick a key man for this one, it might be him in this match, I think. I don't know who you guys would target. I mean, obviously the defense is going to be important because of the tactics Roma plays, but Pellegrini on a free kick or a set piece or corner kick, or just unlocking the defense maybe with a through ball to Abraham. I don't know. He could be the guy.
I'd love for him to be the guy. I genuinely would. I feel like he has gotten so much shit over the years from Romanisti because he's not Francesco Totti or Daniele De Rossi. And to be quite honest, there's a halo effect that those players get sometimes. And it's not that they weren't incredible, but it's not like every single game was a 10 out of 10 from them. And I feel like Lorenzo Pellegrini is held up to the standard of these players who have been deified, and he's told, like, hey, you're not a god. What's the problem? We need to sell you. So if he was able to get back-to-back European titles for Roma, I hope that would change the narrative. I think it only would in some respects, but I do think it could change it at least a little bit.
So for me, I'm not going to pin my hopes on Roma winning this one, on Pellegrini being the one to get the winner.
There's one of those haters, Jim. There he is.
That's why I didn't jump on that right away. I wanted to get both of you to get your stance on Pellegrini out. But I mean, I hope I'm wrong. And I think that he's capable of doing so. I think a large part of the criticism that that's been levied his way over the past couple of seasons has been related to his performance in big games. I think this season that's in part due to Dybala's presence as well, making his role a little bit more limited. So especially if Dybala's not starting, he does have the opportunity to be the one to, you know, produce that moment of magic. And as much as I'm not going to pin my hopes on that, he can do it. He's capable. But There are a few players on the roster that can't do it. Dybala, Pellegrini, Oshirari. You could see Tammy making the difference at some point, even though he's been struggling for form for essentially the whole season. You still see that quality that he could potentially be the one to get the winner in the match. So it's good that is all to say that it's good that Roma have all these options available to them. Pellegrini certainly is a candidate to be the one to make the difference. Just not the one that I would go with. Having said that, who would I go with? I don't know. I mean, I already threw out Oshirari, but if he doesn't start, then you only have a small portion of the time to be that guy, and it's only under certain circumstances. So, we'll see how it goes. I do hope that in a week's time we can come on here and then both of you can just yell at me for my Pellegrini opinions for the whole hour.
Yeah, we can gloat. Regista will have his day on the board and the world will be great for Roma. I like the El Shaarawy shout too. I think because he seems to have a knack for big goals for Roma at times in his career. And please bring him back on a cheap contract if he's really willing to come back on a cheap deal. I mean, he is just consummate professional since he's come back. He's so great for the team. He provides a spark. He's still an exciting player to watch. So I just want to throw that in there. The other quick thing, man, I wish Solbakken was available as another option off the bench because he's been pretty good for Roma since he's been getting integrated into the side. And he's just another one of those guys that could have provided like that little extra spark off the bench. And it's kind of sad that financial fair play gets in the way of that. Guys, I'll end it on this. I don't want to give any score predictions. I'm sure we all would love to predict a Roma win, but I don't think anybody wants to be a jinx. But I'll end it with a kind of a fun question. What kit will you be wearing for the match on Wednesday, if any?
I've got a Totti Scudetto kit that I'll be wearing.
That's a good shout. I have a few options. I think I'll probably go with the Dybala kit from this season. Although, depending on the result, I might swap out, you know, two or three over the course of the match. change up the vibes and the juju, but I think I'll probably start with that one. Just, you know,
this is it, right? If the Dybala kit's going to come through for us, it's now.
Yeah.
Maybe with him scoring the winning goal, even better. But I'm just going to have to go with the one in my profile picture, the Mancini kit from our last season with Nike. I wore it for the Conference League final last year. It came up big, and we hope it comes up big for us again. And hopefully that's what gets it done. Hopefully we get all the good vibes here. We thank everybody for listening. We'll have a Q&A coming out on the site on Tuesday before the match. All of our regular match coverage. Obviously, there'll be plenty of post-match coverage. Hopefully, fingers crossed, covering another trophy coming to Rome and another victory parade. Man, that would be lovely way to end the season. But thanks again for listening. We thank you for those of you that submitted questions and comments. I know this one ran a bit longer than usual. We appreciate it, but this is a big match. And we look forward to talking about it in a few days' time.